Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, a brand new episode here, and joining me this week, because I don't have P in Paris there, couldn't join, I have my brother here, Nano. What's up, Nano?
What's going on?
For those that don't know about Nano, he was there, first time we created our GTR.
Original member, yo.
We're going to be talking about some Nintendo Switch rumors that have been going around in a few minutes, and also... this is going to be totally different. I've never done this before, but I'm going to play old voicemails. Some of them you were part of GTR, some of them not.
Some of them are back from my days. It's funny to hear them. I haven't heard all of them yet. You played a couple, and I'm just like, man, yeah. That is old.
Yeah, but I'm going to play that. And the reason why is because I'm going to take it back and reminisce like those days, the games that I mentioned back from back then. You know what I'm saying?
That's what we do, man. New year, 2019. We think about things that happened 10 years ago.
Yeah, man. From over a decade till and at the same time, how that relates to now, to 2019 in the future too, man.
It's funny the evolution of of gaming or just in general, like our lifestyles, everything that's happened. Like you hear these voicemails and you're like, man. What the heck was going on back then?
Yeah. It's going to be good, man. So stay tuned here, Gamertag Radio. But first, Nano, I love doing this, man. Head over to GamertagRadio.com and post your comments and feedback. And also download our past episodes. We have some classics, man. One of my favorites is the Cyberpunk roundtable discussion. The first time we got to see the game, that's one of my favorites. Or people like the first episode of 2019, they said it was one of the best so far in a very long time.
Or if you want to hear some very unprofessional episodes, listen to the ones that I'm on.
Yeah, very old ones.
Yeah, go from episode one and forward.
Yes, man. We got some stories that we're going to talk about here. I think we should definitely talk about the first time we got played Wii.
Don't say it.
But first, I already mentioned the website, but you also could find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and coming soon, I think by now or so, very, very soon, you're going to check it out. It's going to be available also on Pandora, so we're everywhere.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
First thing first, Nano.
What up?
Let's talk about this rumor, Nintendo Switch rumor. Because you were the one that sent me this on social media. So before I play the voicemails and everything. So go ahead. What is the rumor?
Well, the rumor, a data miner kind of went through the Nintendo Switch online.
The Nintendo Switch app.
The app, yeah. Yes. So for those that don't know, if you subscribe to Nintendo Switch online, you have access to a library of games that they provide. Right now it's just classic NES games.
But this
data miner found Super Nintendo games.
I'm very excited because I'm more of a Super Nintendo than Nintendo fan. So I know there's a long list. I think it was like 22 games.
It's a pretty extensive list. It's very identical to the SNES Classic.
Yes.
But the games that are on there are just, I mean, yeah. You're talking about Super Punch-Out, Star Fox. Mm-hmm. Link to the Past, I think Super Mario Brothers.
Look for it. I'm gonna mention a couple other things about that while you're looking for it. But for those that don't know, you can sign up monthly, or you could play every 3 months, I believe. Or what I did, pay for the whole year. It's only $20. So every month there's gonna be a game available of the old NES games, and as long as you're a subscriber, you can play those games, no issue. You could play it online with friends. You could play it on your own. Also on the go, the whole thing.
Let me run through this list. You tell me.
All right.
Which title kind of like excites you a little more?
All right.
Super Mario Kart. Soccer.
I like Mario Kart, but go ahead.
Super Soccer, which I don't even think I played.
I never played that game.
I to this day I barely play FIFA, so it's not even. Legend of Zelda: A Link to the Past.
Classic.
Demon's Crest. Which I'm not too familiar with that one, actually.
I've never played it. I think maybe I've seen it, but I've never got
Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island.
That's a good one. That's a good game.
Stunt Race FX. Kirby's Decent. Dream Course.
Good game.
Poppin' Twinbee.
I don't remember
that one. That title escapes me. I don't even know what that is. I
can't remember that one.
Star Fox.
Classic.
Contra 3, The Alien Wars.
Major classic. I love it.
Kirby Superstar.
Okay.
Super Ghouls and Ghosts.
That's a tough game, but it's
that
good.
Game, I haven't beat it.
That game is really
I never
tough.
Beat that game. Kirby's Dream Land 3.
Mm-hmm.
Super Metroid.
One of my all-time Super Nintendo games of all time.
Debatable best SNES game?
What?
What do you think? Is that like top five or...
What, Super Metroid?
Super Metroid.
Top number one.
You think that's the best game?
I put that next to Final Fantasy III.
That's in my top five. I don't know how high it ranks. I really have to go...
That's not your all-time favorites?
I don't know, man. Final Fantasy...
I have five.
Final Fantasy is up there.
Continue with the list, but we'll talk about that in a few minutes.
Let's see. Continue with the list. Super Mario World. Classic.
Mm-hmm.
Pilot Wings.
I really like that game. I finished the whole game.
Let me tell you something. That's the most frustrating game
it is
of my childhood.
But it was a good game. And then at the end, it's like an adventure you have to do.
No, I never got to the end because it was that hard for me. I couldn't do it.
It was really tough.
F-Zero.
Yo, classic. Still to this day, I play it on my Super Nintendo Classic system. I finished it the hardest difficulty, Master. Once you finish hard, you unlock Master.
What card did you use?
The pink one.
Pink card? Yeah, that's the one that I rock with.
Look, if you're fast and you know how to control it, yo, you're
flying through everything.
All the way.
Star Fox 2, which is... It's on there.
All right. I have it on Super Nintendo Classic. I finished it. Didn't like it.
You didn't like the game? Nope. I never played it. I've yet to play the SNES Classic.
It's whatever. I'm happy that it went from Star Fox Super Nintendo to Star Fox 64. I'd rather stay with that than play actual Star Fox 2.
I mean, it's cool that they're adding it.
Cool.
A lot of people haven't gotten to play that game.
Yeah, because a lot of people haven't bought the Super NES Classic, you know?
Super Punch-Out, which I'm looking forward to. The kids have been asking me to play that game.
Good game.
The Legend of Mystical Ninja.
That's a classic. That's a Konami game that I played that many times when I used to live in the Dominican Republic.
That's a little blue hair ninja, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was cool. It was really cool.
Super Mario All-Stars.
Classic. Because you're playing all the Mario Brothers game, but it's enhanced 16-bit. 16-bit version.
I like it because they have those... I think they have the Lost World game in there, right?
Yes, that's a game that never came out here in the States, only in Japan.
That game was hard.
Yeah.
And last game is Breath of Fire 2. RPG.
RPG.
Classic. Right.
But you know what? And that list, I'm a little surprised there's no Final Fantasy 3 or 2.
You know, that struck me as odd, too. But, yeah, more RPGs always. I think the Super Nintendo has, like, one of the best libraries of RPGs.
Hands down. Then PlayStation 2. Not PlayStation 2, but the original PlayStation.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good list, man.
Yeah, it's a good list.
Out of those 20 titles, 22, I think.
Now, I don't know if that's going to come out the same day. Maybe by groups, by chunks, they probably get released. But there's no way they're going to release that 22.
I see them releasing them throughout the year. Maybe like sets of three, four games.
That makes sense. But yo, 22 games and try out 22 games.
No, If they do that,
that would be crazy.
Yeah,
crazy.
Like I hope I sign on one day and it's just boom, 20 extra titles.
Uh-huh.
That makes, I mean, already the I think the subscription service is affordable. It's great.
No, it's only $20
yeah,
a year.
It's $20 bucks for the whole year.
Yeah,
you could do the family pack, which I think is like $35 bucks.
Mm-hmm.
I
haven't tried that yet.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it and I kind of. It went past my mind to kind of sign up for it, but I just got the regular year service for $20. But for $20, I mean, you're getting your money's worth.
Yeah, definitely.
And if they add this, then woof, the sales are gonna skyrocket.
Yeah, but what are the chances of them adding Nintendo 64 games, GameCube?
If they continue on this trend, I think they'll see that people want that. You know, there's a demand for it. So hopefully, you know, Nintendo's been surprising me. Like their lineup for this year is crazy.
Yeah. But that's coming out this year?
I mean,
the only game that they announced in 2019 is two that I know is the Marvel game. Marvel Alliance.
Okay, yeah. Okay. No,
one is coming out in 2019 and also Pokemon is 2019. Besides that, we know announcements, but we don't know is it 2019 or 2020.
My biggest thing with like that I'm happy about is all these new Final Fantasy games that are being made available for the Switch.
You are a Final
Fantasy. I'm a huge Final Fantasy.
You have it on the previous systems, no?
I played, yeah, I still have the games, but to have them on the Switch, I'm going to rebuy. Like, even this, the new Super Mario Brothers U game, Deluxe.
Yeah.
Probably one of the best Super Mario packages ever. You're getting the new Super Mario Brothers U plus Luigi U.
Which is a lot tougher.
Yeah, that game is crazy, but it's packaged in one game, and it's released on a portable system.
And there's a lot of people that missed out, that never purchased that game when it came out for the Wii.
And if you have, that's probably one of the best 2D Mario games.
In a long time.
Ever. I mean, like, it's fantastic. It looks great, plays awesome, difficulty's, you know, there. It's a good package, man. I think it's worth it. Like, if you missed out on that game on the Wii U, and you have the Switch, you should definitely get it.
Yeah. Yeah, so let us know your thoughts. Hit us up, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. I don't know if they can hear the plane passing by because, you know, it's the mic.
We're right next to an airport.
Yeah, we're outside. So, Nano, so we're going to do something very cool, very different. I've never done this before. This is the first time in our almost 14 years podcasting that we're going to be playing voicemails from over 10 years ago.
Some voices that you guys aren't going to recognize. Some you might.
Some I don't remember when this came out, and some of them I do. So it's going to be really interesting.
Let's hear them. Let's see what these people have to say.
All right, so it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
So this is fan mail. Old school edition. So we're going to play the first one. This is a very interesting one. This is when... Actually, you know what? I'm just going to play it.
Go for it.
Yo, what's up, Godfrey? This is Kevin, also known as KBC, here in Illinois right now. I just got back from my Gears of War midnight launch party. Me and my friends, Jabba the Pollard and Cheering Penguin, we all got, we got three copies of Gears of War, all with our nice little codes we got here. Right now I'm posting all the pictures up on my Twitter and my Facebook, so check it out. Good luck to everybody who got their game, and I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, so this voicemail was a long time ago. This was in 2006 when Gears of War came out for Xbox 360. Now, I remember back then, we used to do this a lot. I would say, hey, if you guys are in line waiting to buy the game during midnight launch, give us a call, and I'll mention the number.
When's the last time you stood in line?
For a game?
For a game.
Oh, man, that's a good one. I think the last one was the Super NES Classic.
Went in line for, like, well, I mean,
for a system, but yeah. Game, I don't remember exactly.
You just downloaded it. I mean, you pre-buy and you pre-download, right?
Because I was in line for that. I was in line for Nintendo Switch and I bought Zelda. I don't know if that counts. Because
I was in line for was, I think, the Switch. And I had bought a bunch of games on launch. But I don't even think I stood in line. I went, got a ticket, left, came back at midnight and just, you know, I was, I think, third
but
or fourth
I
in the list.
But I missed those days because everybody's excited. Everybody, we're there.
They're
talking.
Gone, man. Those days are gone. Nobody's waiting in line anymore.
Now it's like, you do everything at home, and it's like, it's cool that we're getting everything easily now, downloaded. But I miss those days, just interacting with other people. You get to meet other gamers from around the local area, and I just miss those days.
That was always
man.
Cool. Like when I remember, you know, for that Gears launch or like a lot of the launches, like for these multiplayer games, like you stay in line, you start talking, all of a sudden you have four or five gamer tags, and you're ready to play online.
You're ready to play, yeah. You know what was one of my favorite moments was we were in line for Halo 2. At GameStop, and this was in Miami. This is it's an area called Kendall Drive, one of the, I think, most busiest GameStop stores around the area. And I remember getting there with you. Mm-hmm. I pre-ordered the special edition,
the silver
case, the one that comes with like a documentary.
You know, I still have that case, and it's every time I look at it, I'm like, man, I can't believe I waited in line for this game.
But people were playing football. We were there like 9 p.m. I think it was, and people were just chilling. We were there for like 3 hours just waiting until it hit midnight, and it was actually super packed. And after that, we went home once we got the game and started playing. Like, to me, it was like an event. Like, It was like, it felt like
an event. I'm pretty sure we went to sleep that night, like at 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yeah. Then we woke up, continued playing and everything. And I remember they had clans, and we created a clan, got to play with other people and stuff. But do you remember when the original Gears of War came out? Because I remember seeing the game for the first time at E3, and dude, the graphics, I was like, yo, this is Gears? Holy smokes, it looks so good.
Gears looked really good. And I'm not a fan of the game so much. Like, I tried, and
I get it.
It's too clunky for me, but, you know, I like faster games.
Mm-hmm.
But that game was huge, and, like, I remember looking at people in line, I'm like, man, you know, like, seeing everybody's hype for the game kind of said, you know what, let me get into this game, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I miss those days of, like, people waiting in line and all that stuff, but, those days are gone. Now we just download and no more human interaction.
Yeah, it's not the same, man. It's not the same. All right, we're going to play the next voicemail. Dude, this is old voicemails, man. So over 10 years ago. So here's another one. Let's see if you remember this, Nano.
Hey, Gopi, what's going on? This is DJ Knight from GamingTruth.com giving you an update from out here in Orlando, Florida, where I just so happened to be outside in front of a GameStop where the people are lined up around the building for none other than the genre-defining Grand Theft Auto 4. I'm about to get in line myself because it's getting crazy hectic out here, but I just wanted to give you an update, so keep it popping over there at Gamertag Radio. And again, this is DJ Knight signing out for GamerTruth.com. Later.
All right, so for those that know, DJ Knight, he's a big-time Twitch streamer now. Huge streamer. He's a good friend of ours. He used to live in Orlando, so he will always call us every time there's like a midnight launch of a game. He'll go there in line. He's like, hey, Danny, I'm here. Godfrey, I'm at the store, whatever.
GTR 4 was what year? Was that like?
I can't remember exactly. You can look it up on your phone. Yeah. I think it was over 10 years ago. Over 10 years ago, I think. But shout out to DJ Knight. Now, you know, he's doing this thing now on Twitch. Make sure to go follow him. But Grand Theft Auto 4, Nano, to me, that was a big game, man, because I remember being at E3 and Peter Moore, he was, you know, one of the top execs at Xbox. He showed the tattoo because they had like an exclusive. So it was 11 years ago. He was showing us like the tattoo because they had like an exclusive DLC marketing deal with Xbox at that time, Xbox and Rockstar. And that was the first time people found out about Grand Theft Auto 4 coming out for the Xbox, too. It was like, yo, because originally GTA had a strong relationship with PlayStation and stuff. So fast forward, the game came out, big deal, man. It was a really, really big game, man. What's your thoughts about Grand Theft Auto back then?
Again, that's one of those franchises that never really stuck to me.
Really?
I never enjoyed it, man.
The soundtrack? No, because this is, you know, this is a big
game. The soundtrack is cool, but then, like, after a while, like, I played the game, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
But after a while, it was just like, I kind of wish I had more. But the soundtrack was huge. That and
I think Royce of 5'9". It was like a lot of big time hip hop artists there, man.
San Andreas had a good soundtrack too.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed getting GTA, man. Every time GTA will come out, you go to the stores, dude, long lines. I remember I was in New York when GTA 4 came out. I did that on purpose because I thought they were gonna have like a big time event, and they didn't, man. They didn't have anything Rockstar. No, it was just regular midnight release.
I mean, I feel like the Rockstar formula is getting a little played out, but I feel like it's the same game all the time now.
No, I don't think so. It's different. But one thing I do remember is that they invited me to check out Grand Theft Auto, Lost and Damned. It was like the DLC that was coming out for the system. And Rockstar and Xbox gave me a console. Have you seen that console? Mm-hmm. I borrowed it. Yeah, they only made like 140, 150 consoles.
Yeah, my console edition. Got the Ring of Death, and you let me borrow that one.
Yeah, so he could play his games and stuff. But it was a very rare system. And I posted a video of me opening and showing it, and I posted online, and a bunch of media outlets picked it up, the video, and it was like all over the place. So that was really cool. And actually, a couple years ago, somebody hit me up from Italy who really wanted to buy the system, and I was like, nah, I don't want to sell it. Like, he hit me up like, yo, please, I'm a big GTA fan.
Did you sell it?
No, I didn't sell it.
You still have it, right?
I still have it. But he was like begging, please, like, how much?
Give me 10 cannolis.
Yeah, so I never released. I never sold it and stuff. But all right, let's go to the next voicemail. And we should definitely talk about this now. It's about Xbox Live Arcade.
Ooh.
All right, let's go.
Hey, Gamertag Radio, this is Easy Porter, and I think that Cloning Clyde is a fresh addition to the marketplace. Don't get me wrong, all the retro games are wonderful, but I think that indie games like this will be a huge success for both the developers and Microsoft. Cloning Clyde is innovative, entertaining, and not to mention it's funny as hell. The gameplay is fun and simple, and the multiplayer adds replay value. All in all, I really like this game. The only negative I have is the price. All arcade games should be 400 points, no more. Other than that, job well done, Ninja B. Godfrey, you keep up the good work as well. I love the podcast. One.
All right.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah, what's up?
The point system on arcade was terrible.
It was terrible. I found it like it was a ripoff. Like,
dude.
Because you will buy points, but then it's like you have a little bit left, but you have to add more.
Let me tell you something. It's the most frustrating.
It was.
I would always buy too many points, not have enough points, have to reload, end up with like 700 points on my account, didn't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. No game was, you know, valued at the price that I had. It was just so, I felt like I dumped in so much money into the arcade, into Xbox Live Arcade, but it was cool, you know? Like, I you got to play a lot of indie games, a lot of cool titles, mm-hmm. you know, Small Arms, all those cool.
But the original Xbox Live Arcade, now, I don't even remember, on the original Xbox, you had to go to GameStop to get a free mm-hmm. disc of Xbox Live Arcade, and it had Pac-Man for free.
Mm-hmm.
And Xbox Live Arcade at that time was strictly, the majority of it was retro games. Then, of course, we had Geometry Wars original. Like, there were certain original games, but there was a lot of retro games like Frogger, Pac-Man, mm-hmm. and so on.
Yeah, they kind of dropped the ball on that damn point system.
I was not a fan of the point system at all.
No.
Now, do you remember that back then, each Xbox Live Arcade had to be at least 50 megabytes?
Is that what the size was for the game?
Yeah, and then they upgraded. So then Castlevania Symphony of the Night came out. And there was other games that I think changed the game. And I think there was another one. What was the one with the four-player? It was like characters. There were red, blue, green, yellow.
Castle Crashers.
Do you play that game?
Yeah, that game.
That game was really good. But I think that's when you start seeing indie games changing, like getting better and better. The file size is a lot bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And what was there any memories from back then of all those Xbox Live Arcades that you purchased from back then, man? Besides the retro stuff, but
God, I mean, there was a lot of games. We did a review for Small Arms, right?
Like, Small Arms.
That was a good game.
Yeah, that was like a bootleg version of Smash. Smash. Yeah.
It was a little ripoff of Smash, but it was fun. I thought it was cool.
Decent, yeah.
I mean, what a Geometry Wars was dope.
And then Part 2.
Yeah, I mean, like, the first Geometry Wars, I remember, like, you were showing me this game. I'm like, what is this? And it just looked so hectic.
It was only $5. I forgot how much.
I don't remember how many points it was.
Back then when it launched. But to me, that was the best, in my opinion, the best launch title because I didn't like Perfect Dark, and there were certain games that came out. I was like, it's all right. But Geometry Wars, I was super addicted. I think a lot of us, when we got the Xbox 360, we were still playing Halo 2.
Yeah,
we were not leaving that game. We're like, nope, we're gonna continue to play the old school game, man. You know?
Halo 2 was my life for a long time. So
yeah, but I think Castlevania Symphony of the Night was a game changer when it came out for the Xbox.
Oh, man, that game! I you know what's funny? I buy that game on any system that I have,
mm-hmm.
just because it's one of my favorite Castlevanias to go
through. It was freaking really good, man! Really, really good. All right, we're gonna play another voicemail. This is a good one. Let's see if you remember this franchise from back then.
Hey, what's up, Gamertag Radio? This is Black Hat, EA's community manager for Medal of Honor. Wanted to call and congratulate you guys, Godfrey, Nano, Irie, Sage, and Cyber Athlete over there on your 100th episode. Love the show. Keep it going, man.
There's a lot of memories on this one, Nano. One was hitting our first time 100th mm-hmm. episode. Also, Medal of Honor was coming out around that time. And also having Irie, Cyber, Pink Sage. We had a lot of people involved with GTR back then, man. But let's go with first time hitting our 100th episode. You were still involved. We gave away a Zune, a Halo Zune.
Oh, my God. Yo, let me tell you guys something.
Yeah.
Just so for the people that don't know, Godfrey, and I'm going to quote him, said the Zune was, I think you said it was the future of
But I'll tell you why.
Of media.
And this is why, to me, was the future of media. there was two things that I really enjoy the Zune, even though I think to me they were like a
Coffee, the Zune was a come on man.
No, but
it was a flop.
But there were certain features in there. I'm like, that's dope. One was, Yonano, I'm gonna lend you a song of mine. iPods at that time was they were not doing it. Another one was I was seeing what my friends were listening to. That was they were ahead of his time, man. Now you could do that with Spotify.
What was the lifespan of the Zune?
It didn't last that long.
It didn't last that long.
But
do you still have yours?
No, I don't. I who knows what that thing is at. But I like the concept, like certain things like that, like lending my song for like at least 24 hours or 40 hours to like a friend or 3 days, something like that. And seeing what type of who's listening that type of song, like track, like it was easy for me to discover a lot of new songs. And that was cool, man. That's why I said, yo, this is the future. And it is the future because, look, Spotify's doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Not sharing music, but more.
So was it
like,
ahead of its time? Is that the reason that they didn't?
Yeah. And I mean, there was a lot of things that was kind of whack from. And I felt like it would have been cool if you could do the same thing with podcasts. It was.
I mean, nobody uses, you know, iPods or any of that stuff anymore. Yeah. Everything's kind of streaming and everything's available on any device that you have now. But I never saw the Zune beating the iPod.
Oh, no.
Like,
hell no.
This is impossible.
And you know what was the mistake? That Zune was only available on Windows. Mm-hmm. It was not on Mac.
That was a huge
opportunity they lost there, man. But besides that, now, the whole Zune stuff. So we gave away a Halo Zune for our 100th episode. Never thought in a million years I was going to reach 100th episode.
No.
And also, 6OK, Justin, he used to work at EA Games. He was the community manager for Medal of Honor. I remember going to an event for Medal of Honor. At that time, I was all about Call of Duty instead of Medal of Honor.
You know what? That's why I kind of like, I felt bad never really giving it a fair, you know, like, shot. Like, because I was big on Call of Duty also. And like, Medal of Honor, I'm like, whatever. Like, I played it a couple times and I never really fell in love with the game.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't bad. It's just, it was up against way too much stuff, you know, like Call of Duty, Halo. There were so many games out there, like first-person shooters, that like I didn't really have time for Medal of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's dope that this dude, you know, gave us a shout out.
Yeah, definitely. And still to this day, I talk to Justin, man. So shout out to him, man. All right, this is a classic, Nano. This is a classic.
What's coming
play up right now? Here it goes.
What's happening, Gamertag Radio? This is JBB, co-host of Fontacular, proud member of CTAG.com. I have a question for you guys regarding the Xbox Live Vision camera. By the way, thank you for the great contest. I was actually one of the winners and one of the first to receive the camera. I have a question regarding the camera. Do you guys feel that the camera is the reason why Xbox Live has been bogging down lately? And if it's going to be a peripheral that's going to have a lot of longevity in the future? Or is it going to be just some kind of item that's going to collect a lot of dust? I look forward to hearing the answer, especially from Mr. Cyber. And keep up the good work, guys. This is JVB. I'm out.
Yo, Xbox Live Vision Camera.
Well, let me answer that question for you, JVB.
Yeah.
No.
it did not. Yo, but do you remember when Microsoft sent me, yo, it had to be
shout
like,
out to JVB, man. I haven't heard that name in a long time.
Do you remember when they sent me a box full of cameras? It had like maybe 20, 25 cameras at that time. And the first game that we actually played it, and we got it really early before it was available retail. The first game that was available that had that feature with Xbox Live Vision Camera was Uno.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the camera and I was just joining random games.
Yeah.
And everybody sees my game, my face, and they'll be like, yo, how you doing this? Like, who are you? Mm-hmm. People will freak out. Do you remember those days, Xbox Live Vision Camera?
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things that I was excited for, and I'm like, man, this is dope. But then I started thinking about it. I'm like, I don't want to put my face out there, you know? Like, I don't think I want to have my face everywhere mm-hmm. and let everybody see me. But I think it was very innovative. It was dope to like, kind of add that feature onto the, you know, your online experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I never saw it. I never really saw it taking off too much.
I mean, there was a couple games that they had features. I mean, I think overall a lot missed opportunity. There was one of the poker game. Remember that there was a poker game that you could capture your face and you could create your own character with your face you could play poker with that. You know what I'm saying?
There was a, I think it was a, it was a good opportunity. It just kind of, it was, it didn't really catch foot, man. Like too much ground and it didn't take off too much.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, damn, the Vision. I completely forgot about one of those
peripherals. And it was small. It was really small. It wasn't that big. It wasn't it was not like Kinect, like a freaking.
No, the camera was probably like, what, like 2-3 inches?
Yeah, or like a regular webcam.
Yeah, like a little Logitech cam.
Yeah, yeah. That was cool. But
JVB, you were right. It collected dust.
I think for Uno was great because it created a lot of buzz. But after that, there was not other
games. Nobody really took on the new experience and stuff. Nah. Nobody really made anything for it.
Uno was the only one.
Yeah.
You know, and then a lot of people start being there playing the game naked and all that. Like, it got really, like,
M-rated. I mean, that's what, that got me excited.
Oh, God, please. All right. So we're going to go to the next voicemail. This is a pretty... I have a couple more here left, but here's another one.
What is up, Gamer Tag? Mr. Carpal Tunnel here, man, from XCL Radio Podcast. Hey, I just heard one of your recent episodes and stuff, and it seems like people are getting down on you. So, I just want to, you know, give you a call. Say, man, don't let the man keep you down. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep pumping them out. Keep doing the interviews, news, and reviews. Man, we'll be there to tune it in. This is Mr. Carpetello from XPL Radio saying, if you're not a Gamertag fan, then you're not playing live.
So, no, you're probably not going to remember this, but there was a lot of, at that time, we had a lot of
beef. I'm not going to remember it. Yo, that's all that engulfed. GTR, like, for those that don't, that weren't there from the get, like from episode one, me and Godfrey, we got, you know, everything but rocks thrown at us.
Yeah.
And
why do you think that happened at that time?
Man? Honestly, I don't know, man. It's a mix of the online community. And if anybody that plays online or does anything online, you know, from social media to video games, online forums, there's always people on there, trolls, people that are just... Mm-hmm. You know, like they get up and their whole day revolves around making this guy's day worse, and whatever, man. Like you're gonna get that online. Mm-hmm. There's racists, haters, people that kind of just want to put you down to make themselves feel better. Mm-hmm. I'm not down with it. I hate that. And we got a lot of it from the get, just because I think we were one of the first people doing what we did.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like this company and this whole like Gamertag Radio like enterprise, it came from the love of our, you know, our passion for video games. And some people were hating on it, man. They just didn't like our voices. They didn't like us talking, doing what they wanted to do, I think. Mm. And it's, you're always going to have those people, even today. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, as today, as I don't see it as much how it used to be.
I don't think it's as prevalent, but it's there.
But it is there. It is there. But back then, dude, there was even people that had their own podcast that will go to iTunes and give us a one star so we could go bottom of the ranking system. While they could go up because everybody's getting
I never did. I never fed into it.
Me neither.
Too much. I never went like, oh, you gave me a bad review? I'm going to give you six bad reviews.
I really don't
care. I didn't care. I was like, dude, you know what? That's great, man.
Yeah.
For every one person that hates us, there's 10 that loves us.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But it was a very interesting, man. Like, you know, getting a lot of beef. Like, there was even shows that did a whole episode about us.
Hating us. Yeah. It was crazy.
Hating.
Yo, I remember I signed on. I forget, you pointed it out. They were like, yo, these people are talking, you know, trash about us. And I go on, and yo, there was like a 20-page forum. I hate these guys.
Yeah.
Oh, they sound like a bunch of, you know, like, you know, some racist terms, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, damn. That's great, I guess. They're talking about us.
Yeah.
Like,
but you know, a lot of
thanks for the download.
A lot of those websites or podcasts, they don't exist, man. Because to me, if you put too much...
negative energy, man, that comes back.
Negative energy doesn't last that long. You might get that buzz, that first 24, 40 hours, like a couple of weeks, you know, you get that buzz, everybody, yeah. But after that, if we move on doing other bigger things and you still constantly hating, after a while, people just like,
I mean,
it gets tired, it gets old.
I think my advice
what else besides being negative? Like,
Be yourself. You
know? Exactly.
If you're going to do a podcast and you're afraid of people, you know, talking trash and like hating on you and you're one of those people that kind of like, I get it. You know, sometimes words hurt.
Yeah.
But don't give up, man. Like, look at GTR. Mm-hmm. We started from, I swear to God, people were like, they might as well have spit in our faces.
Yeah, we had zero money, too.
We had no money. We had a bunch of hate. We had people that helped us out in the beginning. But like I said, for every, you know, person that, every 10 people or 20 people that hate on you, that one person that loves you is going to spread the word. They're going to get you more fans. You know, hold on to, like, the good moments. Don't focus on those bad ones and all those, like, bad mean words that people say online, because you know what, at the end of the day, it's Yeah, it's all words, man.
Do you remember when we first got featured on the Xbox dashboard and also Xbox.com?
Oh, yeah, yo.
And it was like 24 hours right after our first episode mm-hmm. came out.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
And hey, let me tell you something.
Actually, we were the first podcast, period, to be on the dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
That's a proven fact, yo.
Trixie, right?
Trixie. Shout out to Trixie. Krista, shout out to her, man. So, all right, here's another one, Anno. You might like this one. Here goes.
Hello, this is Marshall Ward in Enid, Oklahoma. I am so curious about Fable 2. When are they going to put a release date on it? Really looking forward to it. Love to play it. Call me at 580-242.
Whoa! He gave his phone number.
Thank you very much.
First of all, I can't believe he left his phone number. Because he wanted us to tell him, hey, the official release date of Fable 2 is...
I mean, I wish I had that information and I could have given it to you at the time. It's... Shout out to the caller, though. I'm gonna give you a call. I'm going to call that phone number, see if it still works.
Yeah, I wonder if it works. Oh, my God. But do you remember Fable 2?
I love the Fable franchise, but it kind of just started...
Dude, they hyped it up a lot. Yeah, like, it's going to be the best RPG game of all time.
It was too much of the own creator, just like, you know.
Oh, Peter Molyneux. Yeah, I had him on the show a couple times.
Way too much. Yeah. It was like, yo, dude, you got to calm down.
You also got to understand, man, he was just excited for people to finally play his game. They've been working on this for a couple mm-hmm. of years. And developers are always going to feel that way, man. They think it's the best product ever because they worked on it for a long time. So at the same time, I understand where he's coming from. But us from the outside, we'll be like, whoa, this is not the greatest game of all time.
It's not what you promised. It's close to what you promised, but it's not everything you said it was going to be. And I'm like, it's kind of a letdown.
All right, so what was it that...
I did enjoy the franchise, though. Like,
oh, it was fun.
Yeah, I like.
But
I
what
like
was Fable. It that stood out to you about Fable, the Fable series? That
I think like the whole just decision making. You know, like the way you craft your character,
mm-hmm. you get hurt, scars, and you get older. You have that scar.
It was almost like what he promised, but you know, it just wasn't as deep as I thought it was gonna be.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of a letdown, but like it did offer, you know, everything he did say was gonna, you know, be in the game.
All right, so here's another voicemail now. We're almost done here. This is you should get a lot of emails about this all the time. And you're probably going to remember this. Here goes.
Oh, hey, what's up? My name is Eddie. I'm an I do Xbox Live and I make videos and all that. I was wondering if I can get sponsored by GTR. All right, if I could, like, a big one off. But yeah, I think you got the messages and all that. All right, so if you guys can get back at me. Later.
Boy, if you don't take that somewhere else. Let me tell you something.
Yes.
I went on trips to go try out, you know, games. I went to Vancouver with $12 in my pocket.
That was pretty bad.
$12, man. I survived on potato chips. You want me to sponsor you, bro? I'll buy you a pack of Skittles, man.
But I can see a lot of people from the outside will see like, yo, these guys are making money. They're big. They're all out big time. All these media.
We were broke, man. Whoever is in the podcasting game or does anything, you know, influencer or any other content creator, you know how hard it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is during the time where like MLG was starting up.
MLG was big.
And
Halo.
Yeah, there was a lot of new teams starting up. And like, I had a Halo team too. Yeah. I would have sponsored myself if that was the case. But no, we did not have sponsor money.
No, we had no money like that, man.
And it's funny because I remember there was, like you mentioned, there was a lot of people asking for sponsorships and we didn't have it.
And I'm like, thank you. Like, it's cool, but we don't have the money.
Yeah.
But I get it because a lot of the.
By the way, we still can't sponsor you guys.
A lot of the pro players at that time wanted to compete at MLG. Mm-hmm. They just didn't have the funds to compete. So I get where they were coming from. Hey, we'll rock your jersey with mm-hmm. your logo. I get it. That's when, before the whole esports blew up. You know what I'm saying? So I see where they were coming from, man. Well, but yo, we didn't have the funds like that.
You know what's crazy? Like our team, my Halo team, we had a sponsor and it took us a long time to find that sponsor. And I mean, not that I'm, you know, kind of complaining about it. Like, I'm appreciative for everything they did for us. But, like, they dropped us pretty quick just because it's not... There's no real money in it. You know what I mean? Like, these people are just throwing money away for a bunch of kids to play video games.
At that time, it was too new. So a lot of people didn't understand.
Yeah, in 2005, 2006, it was tough for...
It wasn't as big as it is now. Now you have it on ESPN.
So it makes sense.
There's a bunch of leagues now. Now it makes sense. Now, yeah. Advertising's
back then
it was worth it.
It was just like maybe a picture on MLG website. Like there was no, or the buzz, like, yo, it's not like how it is
now. Yeah, it probably would have been more profitable to have some guy standing outside spinning your sign in the street for an hour.
But you know what? Let's talk about this, man. When you guys went to MLG in New York, mm-hmm. and it was the first time that was your first time playing with your team. You guys went really far, man.
We finished top, I think we got 11th place.
Holy crap. So, and everybody was running like, who's these guys?
We were just like the new kids on the block, you know what I mean? From Miami, nobody knew who we were. And our team kind of went really far, and that's when we had the sponsorship, and that guy was going crazy. He was like, oh my God.
Oh, he was there?
Yeah, he was there. He was like, I love you guys. Oh, wear my shirt. Wear this. And I'm like, all right, dude, I'm not going to, calm down, you know? Like, we'll do what we can. But even then, you know what I mean? Like, the guy, what was his website? I think it was called egamingleague.com.
Oh my God.
E-gaming? Yeah, I think he was trying to compete with, Game Battles, which was like another website where people go on, you put your team on there, and you could, like, you know, coordinate matches. Mm-hmm. And this guy was trying to, start up his own, which he was a little bit ahead of his time because, like, it's very profitable. There's a lot of gaming leagues. Mm-hmm. And I wish the guy would have, kept on with it. I don't think he did. I think he dropped the idea. But, yeah, the guy, I mean, it's hard to get a sponsor.
Yeah,
anything.
It is hard. It is really, really hard. Still to this day, it's hard. Yeah. You know? All right, so we're going to play one more voicemail. So here it goes. This is an old school voicemail here, man. Let's play it.
What's up, Godfrey? This is Vicious and Coach from the Old School Gamers Podcast. And we saw your post today where you were talking about some guys hating on you from a rival podcast or whatever it was. And, I mean, basically all I have to say on that, man, is why are you even giving them the time of day? Why are you wasting the keystrokes to go on the internet and even post that? I know you're saying that you don't want to say their name or anything, but basically by just acknowledging their existence, that they're hating on you, you're feeding into what they want. They got envy. They got envy. They got jealousy. You're just feeding into it by doing that, man. Coach, tell them a little.
Yeah, well, I want to say, hey, dog, if someone is getting on me for giving people business cards and networking and they have a problem with it, come on, dog, man. You can't let nothing like that get you down or make you mad because, look, I'm telling you, dog, once you try to get these cats mad and everything, you open up a box or a door that you won't be able to close, dog. Hey, I understand negative feedback is negative feedback, but, hey, dog, look, if it's something that petty, you got to let that stuff roll like water off of a duck, baby.
Yeah.
Yo.
Yo, first of all, please tell me you remember the business card situation. That was in 2006.
That was a long time ago, man.
So for those that don't know, I know we have a lot of listeners that start listening to GTR. At that time, at E3, there was an event called Community. It was C3.
Mm-hmm.
Community something. It was an Xbox event for community members, right? So you go there and you play the systems.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter Moore, he was one of the execs for Xbox at that time. He showed up, and I had business card, and I gave it to him. So the photographer took a picture of me giving. This was on Xbox.com. This was like all over the place. Me giving the business card to Peter Moore, and in the background, you see one guy that was just looking mad, like, "Yo, why Danny is giving a business card to Peter Moore?" Peter Moore is going to throw it out.
Yeah, he's going to toss it.
Which I get where he was coming from, but at the same time, ever since that day, Peter Moore never forgot my face, man. He every time he sees me, he's like, "Yo, Danny, how you doing?" Every time.
Hey, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Those business cards were trash.
It was trash.
My God,
it was ugly. It was terrible.
Like, I don't know
it was us on our own.
I didn't know how to design. We go to like Kinko's or something?
Yeah.
It was awful. We had some crappy looking business cards.
It was.
But yeah, man, like, we caught so much flack. Like, it was crazy.
But, yo, I was just hungry. I really didn't even care, man. I was just hungry.
Yeah, and you know what? That right there goes to show you, do it. You know what I mean? Whatever, if you have good intentions behind whatever you're doing,
yeah,
go out and do it. It doesn't matter what people are going to say. Maybe back then we were a little younger, so we kind of fed into it a little bit.
Yo,
but
I was still learning about the industry still, man. You know?
Do it, man. You see somebody that you're never going to see again. You know what I mean? Well, you never know. You know what I mean? But somebody as big as Peter Moore, you have an opportunity to give him a business card.
Yeah.
Who cares if he's going to throw it? He's probably going to use it as a coaster.
Yeah. Still
Who cares?
To this, still to this day. Look,
you go,
right now,
you go and you approach
right
it.
Now, he's actually look up Peter Moore. Let's see what it does, man.
I just want to mention one thing though, man.
Yeah, go for it.
has Paris always been the old gamer? Even this is like a voicemail from like 10 years ago, and he was old then. He's just an old grumpy gamer now.
You know, I want him to answer that. Paris, please answer that, man. Please answer that.
I only make fun of Paris when he's not on the show because he could easily toss me over the roof of my house.
Yeah, man. All right, so for those who don't know, right now, Peter Moore, he's the CEO of Liverpool.
Oh, yeah.
Still talks to me, man. Still hits me up. Like, you know, hey,
Peter's cool,
hi.
Man. He's a good guy.
Yeah, so it's like you never know what could happen, man. Like, every time he will see me at an event. Actually, one of the biggest moments that happened to me during the podcast was in 2006. The Nintendo Wii was coming out, which we're going to talk about Nintendo Wii in a few minutes before mm-hmm. we wrap it up. But I was there at the Microsoft headquarters because we were there for like a game, and I had my recorder, and somebody asked him, hey, what you think about the Wii? And Peter Moore says something about the Wii, about the remote, the controller, and all that stuff, that it went viral online, that everybody picked it up, every major media. And he said, oh, I remember you with the hat, with the lid hat. I remember you. So, you know, that moment, yeah, a lot of people didn't like the idea that I gave him a business card. But, yo, I got an opportunity to still be cool with him, and he still remembers. And all that
you know
stuff,
why people
man.
Hate? Because they wish they did it. And they wish they got a picture with it. You know what I mean? And now look at that. Look at the relationship you built with Peter, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, it's there's very few opportunities in life that are given to you, chances for you to kind of like, you know, progress in life or in business or whatever it is that you're going for. Mm-hmm. Take them. Mm-hmm. You see that opportunity, jump, man. Just do it.
Definitely.
Don't ever give up just because, oh, but it might look bad or this. You know what? Chances are they're not going to remember you. But that 1% chance that they will, mm-hmm. that's what you should go for.
Yeah. And, you know, in the future, I'm going to play more voicemails and maybe some interviews that we could do commentary on, or like Jay Adler and all that stuff. Ugh. I'm going to play that in the future, not now. But one more thing now before we wrap it up. Quick story. Our experience playing the original Wii for the first time in Miami. Do you remember that thing?
I remember going and fearing for my life for like the first 40 minutes. I'm looking at you like, Godfrey, what'd you get me into, man?
No, like, but for there's a lot of people don't know what happened, like why you were in fear.
Well, we got invited to the event.
Yes.
You know, I think you brought along some extra people, right? Like, you passed out invitations.
Yeah, well, they told me, Danny, you could bring this amount of people. Yeah. Like, all right, cool.
So we got everybody together. Mm-hmm. They told us meet at some random location in Miami.
Yeah, North Miami.
Yeah, so we're like, all right, whatever.
Under a highway, or
bottom of an underpass or something. It was very sketch.
Yeah,
very. And we get there, and I'm just looking around like, all right, this is kind of weird.
Oh, whatever. And they told us we had a cold. Each group had a cold. Mm-hmm. So, well, I can't remember mine, but they told us don't bring your phone.
Yeah, leave your phone in your car.
Yeah,
get in this van with blacked out windows.
Yes, that was creepy.
And I'm just like, all right, this is getting weirder. We get in the van, and all of a sudden, you can't see out. You don't know where you're going. And I'm just like, yo, we're about to be murdered. Like, this is it. This is the way it happens.
Yeah. And everybody in that car, it was full. Everybody in that van was feeling the same way. Like, yo, why this cover up? Why they want us to leave the phone away?
Yeah, no.
Like,
when we finally,
it was very creepy. Yeah,
when we finally pull up to our location, they open the doors, we walk in, and I'm just like, ah, oh, man, this doesn't look good, man. Like, what warehouse are we walking into? Mm-hmm. This is going to be an episode of Saw or something. And we go in there, and they just have a dope setup. It was a warehouse.
It was
a small warehouse. They had, I think like 10 TVs set up, 10 monitors set up with, like, Wii systems and the Wii Sports.
We played Wii Sports, Zelda, mm-hmm. Madden. I can't remember what other games I had.
I remember Zelda. I was playing a lot of Zelda and the Wii Sports. I mean, the experience was awesome. You know what I mean? Like, I fell in love with it right away. The motion controllers and all that stuff.
And playing that for the first time, that was pretty cool, man. It was very unique and different. Yeah.
One thing that didn't happen, which I kind of wish we did, was, like, I remember after the Wii release, like, everybody started breaking their TVs. I would have loved it if that would have happened at the event.
Oh, my God. That would have been funny.
No, but they made sure everybody strapped in the controller.
Yeah, like, so you got this. Yeah, I remember that.
But, that was funny because that car ride, those 10 minutes in the car, and, like, you didn't know where you were going. Those bumpy roads, sharp left, sharp right. I'm like, yo, we're going off a cliff. I don't know what the hell's going on. Mm-hmm. But it was good, man. At the end of the day, you know, it was a good experience. So don't, even if something seems a little scary and weird at first, just go for it, man. Like, that's all life is. Like, life is just a bunch of random opportunities that kind of lead into good things, you know? Yeah. Or sometimes bad. That could have ended up terrible.
But look, I have a bunch of other voicemails. I'm going to play that in the future. But I just want to say thanks, Nano, for joining me. That was pretty cool playing these old, old voicemails. Remember this from back then when we started with GTR in 05? And, you know, it was cool.
Oh, man. Shout out to everybody that called, everybody that supported us from day one. Everybody that hated us that probably still listens to hate. Thanks for the downloads.
It was all fun.
It's been a good ride, man. And yeah. It's fun to hear these things. It's very nostalgic.
Yes.
Reminiscing is always good.
Definitely, man. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you for listening to Gamer Tag Radio.
And, call, leave more voicemails.
Yeah, man, leave voicemails. Do you like this? Do you like us playing old voicemails?
Matter of fact, whoever's listening, if you've been there since day one and you remember who I am, call and leave a message. I'd like to hear it.
I'll send it to you. And I'll play on the podcast too.
Yeah, that'll be dope.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so head over to Gamer Tag Radio, and also you can find at GamerTagRadio.com. You can find us also on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, right? Coming soon, Pandora, and other podcast directories. Also, if you're listening to Radio Public, through Radio Public, it's a free app. Look for Gamer Tag Radio. Every time you listen through there, we also get paid to help us out. So you could also listen to GTR through there, man. All right, until next time. Anything else now? You want to promote your company or anything?
No, I just want to say one thing. Shout out to everybody that was naked on Xbox Vision.
Oh, God.
My peoples.
All right. We're out. Until next time. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamer Tag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.